Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and joining me in studio right now, absolutely delighted to have Stephen D'Angelo, Chief Executive Officer and President of DCK Worldwide. Under his leadership since 2008, DCK Worldwide has become one of the fastest growing companies in Pittsburgh and one that consistently ranks as top contractor for providing building solutions to public and private clients all around the world. He's also grown the company organically and expanded its geographic reach through acquisition. Stephen is passionate about significant leadership that guides others to success, charities, and community involvement at all of DCK's projects and locations. Before I welcome Stephen, I just want to give a quick shout out to Rob Sagwitz, who is the head of marketing at Stephen's company, and I've known and worked with Rob for a while. Really, really fond memories of Rob, and it was great to reconnect with him, several weeks ago, right after the conference I mentioned in my first segment. So, Rob, thank you for your wonderful marketing over the years and for the introduction to Stephen. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger.
So, you and I graduated the same year, 1986.
1986, that's what I heard.
And then you went on to do seven restructurings, corporate restructurings,
right,
before you came to DCK, I mean to Dick Corporation.
Correct, right.
How did you get into this corporate restructuring?
You know, it's something that you never realize where you're going to end up when you start. And, I was involved in, early on in my career, I was involved in a family business, and it went through some financial difficulties, and I learned a lot. And I really enjoyed, I was able to, because it was a family business, I was very intricately involved, and I really learned a lot. I really enjoyed the work. I really enjoyed the satisfaction of trying to solve problems, and some can be solved and some can't, but just the challenge of it. And so, one thing led to another, and I ended up in the turnaround business.
Yeah. So did you grow up, you said family business, so did your family have a business, or do you sort of grew up and sort of learning a little bit?
Yeah, I grew up, I grew up in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I grew up in the jewelry business.
Oh.
And so we provided gold jewelry to, in those days, stores like Montgomery Ward, Sears and Roebuck.
Oh, wow.
Walmart was just about starting in those days. I learned a lot through that.
Okay. So how did you hear about Dick Corporation, and how did that, how did you come in to sort of lead the transformation there?
Well, it was funny. It's funny because I was called by the bonding company, but I had been in the turnaround business, and I had sold a company to the same company that owned the bonding company.
I see.
So I never worked with them. I kind of worked against them. And when Dick Corporation got into some trouble, they called me and asked me if I would come down and take a look at things and try to help them.
So what was the situation there? And we're fortunate that you're here today, and the transformation has gone well. So walk us through those early days. You walk in. What was the situation there?
Well, every turnaround is about cash. And, in construction especially, cash is the most important thing in the business. And the situation was that it was a great company with great people, with a lot of great history, and some big problem jobs. And so money was extremely tight. People were very nervous about what was going to happen, both on the owner side, the employee side, and the stakeholders, banks and lenders.
And this was, and was Enron was part of the one of the clients who sort of you didn't collect money from, or what was the situation there?
Yeah, Enron was kind of the catalyst. When they filed for bankruptcy, the company was building two power plants for Enron, and so that created a very, very significant cash drain. Ultimately, a lot of that was worked out, but those things take years.
Take years.
Right.
So what did you do? So you came in, and right off the bat, did you come into a leadership role to say, hey, now, and then how did you make the decision to transition the company from Dick Corporation to DCK, and how did the transition come handled?
Yeah, so initially I was hired as what was called the chief restructuring officer.
Okay.
We negotiated a loan to the company to keep, everybody agreed that the best outcome would be to operate the company and finish the projects and try to get new projects and, you know, maintain the staff. And so so my job was to manage the cash, manage the business, you know, reduce costs where we could, work, collect money, and basically run the business.
So you mentioned cash as a key driver here. So what did you do to manage the cash?
Well, there's a lot in a turnaround, there's a lot of things that you do. You know, one is they had the bonding companies and the insurance companies had agreed to give the company a loan.
Okay.
So there was cash available there. But secondly, in every turnaround, you kind of look at it where you you look at your debt, you look at your payables, and you try to control your payables, maybe negotiate different terms, negotiate longer payments, negotiate long-term term outs, or even if there is some available cash, try to negotiate discounts. So it's a combination of a lot of things on the payable receivable side. And then look at the expenses within the business and where can you cut expenses.
Okay. And I read either it was on your website or one of your interviews. So you had stated that for the turnaround, it wasn't about long-term vision or plan. You were dealing with short-term goals and being creative and flexible to meet those goals. So was it like a every month deal, every week deal? How was it?
When you're in a turnaround like this, it's an everyday deal. You know, you have weekly plans and you have monthly plans, but you have to be flexible. They change. Things happen. And so you have to be prepared to deal with it, and you have to be prepared to have a plan that everybody can rally around, but it has to be a flexible plan.
And I'm presuming as you go through the restructuring, you know, you have a situation where you're possibly reducing staff and delivering bad news, whether it's to clients or vendors. So how did you go about this? How did you get them to buy in? Because you want these employees to stay and help you transform, right?
Yeah, it takes, you can do a lot of talking and you can try to convince people, but buy-in takes a long time. And you find that in these situations, there are people that jump on board right away and there are people that it takes longer. What I find is that you just try to do what you say you're going to do. And that builds credibility, whether it's an employee, a supplier, a customer. You just consistently do what you say you're going to do, whether it's good news or bad news, you earn credibility and people begin to either believe in what's happening or they decide that, you know, they can't be part of it. And you know, that happens in these situations.
Yeah. And you said this one had a good ending in this case, but sometimes some situations just not salvageable. Mm-hmm. But as a CEO, you're always like, you know, upbeat, you're looking towards the, you know, you're always thinking that next day is going to be better. So how do you temper that with reality?
Well, you know, you always try to create an outcome. And that outcome can be a lot of different things. It may not be that the company survives, but it may be that the company is sold. It may be that, you know, employees are given, can, you know, are transferred to a new company and keep their job. So you look for an outcome that can be something that is, can be viewed as success.
Yeah, the best win you right. can. And with the employees, so you're coming in, did you have to put a new vision in place then? Or what did you have to do with one of the first things?
You know, we kind of had to explain what was happening because pretty much everybody in that company had never experienced anything like this. So we really had to tell them what we were doing, what the plan was, give them an idea of what we thought the future was, and talk about some of the hard things that we would have to do over the next couple of years. But at the end, we felt like, you know, there'll be an outcome that will be successful.
And how did you, you know, in my business, Stephen, I always say that trust comes first, you know, before all the stuff. Like when I've been, you know, talked to chairmen or board or CEO, they don't give the C title to the person who's generally the best salesperson or the best engineer or the best scientist. Mm. They give it to the person who they trust the most. And obviously competency is a critical part of it, but trust is a larger segment. What has been your experience there in as far as your leadership team and earning the trust of the employees?
Again, I think when I went in, I had the trust of the investors and the lenders. But I think it's a matter of it takes time to earn trust. And I think it goes back to being credible, being truthful, being honest, even when it's difficult to be honest. And following through with what you say. You know, it's you know, the easiest way to lose trust is to say I'm going to do something and then not do it.
And the, yeah, exactly right. So what is the situation today? So you've gone through this. So what? So tell us, since 2008, what's been the transformation of the company?
So the company's transformed tremendously. We have a new kind of a we're a much different business today than we were 10 years ago. In fact, we're celebrating 10 years this year since DCK was established.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Thanks. And you know, we're very focused. We call ourselves a business that with a core competency of construction, and that might be a little differentiation between a someone who says I'm a construction company, but for us the difference is that it allows us to think a little bit bigger. It allows us to think about other things that we can bring to the table around our core competencies, and so we're very focused today in working in strategically difficult locations on very high profile resorts types of projects, and working with clients who are hiring us because they know we bring not only the construction expertise, but we bring more to the table than just the construction expertise.
And what is the more part that you bring?
You know, we try to go to places where we can make a difference. And so a big part of our market right now is in the Caribbean, for instance. When you were in Bermuda at that conference, there's a Ritz-Carlton that's being built there. We're building it.
Ah.
And so we've become very, very good at working in very tough locations, islands like St. Thomas, Jamaica, Anguilla. We're working on 8 different islands right now. We work in places like the Philippines, places like Palau and the Southern Pacific. And we've gotten very good at being able to deliver high quality on schedule and within a budget. And so our reputation has grown very large there, and we have a very strong presence. And so it's allowed us to kind of really transition the way we do work.
What do you sound so difficult? How do you go to a new country in the Caribbean? I go to the Caribbean a good bit. So I'm just curious, how do you go there? It's like it's a very different work culture, work environment. You're based here. How do you bridge it?
So, the easiest way to talk about it is an example. We just finished a resort in Anguilla called Capsuluca,
okay,
which is listed as one of the top 10 resorts in the Caribbean. Very, very high-end luxury resort. On that particular project, we had a man camp. We brought in 500 people from different parts of the world, different skill sets. We had about 25 to 30 of our own staff there. And we were able to, and then we had a lot of local support. We had agreements with the government on how we could take people in and how we could take people out. And so those are the types of things that we like to do, and we do pretty well.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to go to a commercial break in just a little bit. So we have been talking with Stephen D'Angelo, Chief Executive Officer and President of DCK Worldwide. And as I said before, he has transformed the company. It was a big corporation, was in financial trouble. He came in as a turnaround expert, not without prior experience. 7 times before, he has done this in the past, comes up here and done a great job transforming into one of the premier companies in the Pittsburgh area. Stay tuned. We're going to commercial break, and we'll be right back again with Stephen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Raja, and we've been talking with Stephen D'Angelo, Chief Executive Officer and President of DCK Worldwide. As I said in the last segment, came here, the corporation was in trouble. He'd done it 7 times before. He came in, and he's really made DCK Worldwide a success. They are here in Pittsburgh. So, Stephen, Pittsburgh base. So share with us a little bit about, what's in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, we like to use an expression that we're blue collar people in white collar shirts. that's a lot of what Pittsburgh is. And so, it's about, people that, care about what they do. They're trustworthy. They enjoy what they do, and they're not afraid to get their hands dirty and do what has to get done to get to get the job done. And I think that's a lot of the culture in DCK. And I think when I look at Pittsburgh, I think it's really a Pittsburgh type culture and Pittsburgh type mentality.
Yeah, and there's a certain work ethic and grit for of everyone up here. So and Pittsburgh is your headquarters?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you're national and international.
That's
the company.
Yes.
Okay. And so what has differentiated you and allowed you to grow so well? And I think when I looked at Daryl's email, he said it's a $1 billion corporation. So kudos for that. And share with us a little bit of the journey that's taken you to this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we try to do differently, but I think in the core, what I think differentiates us is I about 10 years ago really started to invest in our people. And we put together what is called a leadership development program inside DCK. Mm-hmm. And it was really focused on not about construction, and it was really focused on business, really focused on how to running businesses, making decisions, good core competencies in business. It was kind of a given. Everybody at Dick Corp and at DCK knows how to build. And so what we wanted to do was develop more of the business skills and the business acumen. And so we made it a very exclusive program. It was limited to 6 to 10 people. The program would run a year and a half to 2 years. And we've done 4 of those programs now.
Wow.
And today, pretty much everybody in a leadership role in the company has been through that program. And it built a lot of camaraderie with key people. And it's an important program in the company today.
And this last 2 years, 6 to 10 people to go through a program for that period of time.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I also was told that you have a mentorship program where you have some of the senior folks who know this participate and helping out some of the junior folks or somebody getting into your business to really bring them along.
Yeah. Well, you have to realize because of the way we work, we have people everywhere, and so we try to create pockets where engineers they have someone they work for on the projects, but they also have someone outside of the projects that understands our company and understands the business that they can reach out to, that they can talk to, that's checking up on them and making sure that they're happy with where they are and that they understand where they're going. So it's an important part, especially because it's very difficult. You have people all over the world, so it's difficult to they're not connected to the office all the time, and so that's how we try to make that connection.
And it's just not internal, right? Because we talked earlier about the charities and how you give back to the communities. You're a global company. Mm-hmm. So what do you have in place? Like I know that DCK Worldwide in the areas you are, all those countries you said, you're part of the community there. So what are the some of the initiatives there?
It goes back to the it goes back a little bit to that culture that I was talking about, that blue collar culture, and what we try to do in every area that we work. We realize how important being part of that community is, and so we have a program called the Building a Better Community Award, and everywhere, whether it's an island or a location such as Napa Valley, we go out for that. We nominate people get nominated for that award in the region. And then it's a cash award that we give to the charity that basically wins the nomination. So it's a very local. We through Facebook or other types of media, we advertise to the people that this award is available. They nominate local charities. We make a selection, and then we award whatever charity gets selected.
Oh, that's great! That's great. And I always say this. Stephen, is that we have a lot of high level CEOs on the show, and you can tell there are people who have what I call as a servant's heart, and certainly I know you have that, and being a board member of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Mm-hmm. So what drew you towards this organization?
They're just great people. I mean, they do such good work, it's very humbling when you're part of a group like that really they don't. The opposite of everything in business. They don't really care about money. They don't really care about anything. All they care about is their mission, taking care of the sick. And any dollar that they get goes towards that mission, and it's a very
truly altruistic. So you know, that's I know, but I think this is part of all great leaders, mm-hmm. is they have that philanthropic, and it shows that you care for your people, and that, and you can see sort of the activities they're in. I'm going to change again a little bit here, and so $1 billion company. Not very many people can say they are the CEO of this. So what is a day in the life of Stephen D'Angelo? How do you delegate? How do you do this? That's a big company.
We, you know, a day in the life, it's every day. Every day is different, but I spend a lot of time working with different people within the organization. I spend a lot of time with clients. And I spend a lot of time traveling to projects, and we spend a lot of time planning and trying to come up with different ways to add value to our clients.
So, and how many employees do you would you have, ballpark?
We have about 400 or 500.
Four or 500.
And then when we hire craft, it can get up a couple thousand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you have a core management team that
yes.
runs. So what do you look for? What attributes do you look for? Like when our listeners are here, they always want to get promoted to either the C-suite or some level there. So what is it that you look for when you promote somebody into being your top person or, you know, your management team?
You know, they have to understand the vision, be part and buy into the vision. We look for that, you know, that work ethic and that culture of that mentality. And you know, obviously they're skilled in what they do. They show how they've demonstrated their ability to lead and to delegate and manage other people.
Okay.
And they're not afraid to make tough decisions.
Yeah. No, completely understand. Now, as far as your vision grows, now your vision is. What do you know? You have something which says that changing markets to be proven in changing markets.
Yeah, I guess what we're trying to be as an overall company is we're trying to be a value added company. A lot of construction can be very commoditized, and what we've tried to do is we've tried to, for lack of a better word, decommoditize. And create what I call sustainability, so that you're not, it's not about being as good as the last job you did, but it's and having to bid work on a regular basis. It's more about relationships and long term relationships and repeat business and repeat clients.
Yeah, and is this part of your vision, Stephen? Revolutionize our business by focusing on client solutions and changing markets.
Exactly.
And so change is like continuously going on. So how do you adapt, you know, and how is technology and automation and all of that starting to impact your business?
Well, you know, you were talking about artificial intelligence when it started, and that's becoming a big part of the construction business. Today on our job sites, most of our superintendents have iPads. All the drawings are on iPads. They can take pictures of quality issues production, and it'll be downloaded to the drawing. So technology is starting to become a very important piece of the construction industry.
So and how is that changing? Is it changing the way? Is there more automation, and do you need less people, or that's not there at that? Because if I go to the grocery store now, I'm seeing there's less and less people there.
Yeah.
So how do you see this affecting your industry?
I wouldn't say it's more automation and less people. It's automation that makes things simpler and easier. But I think the construction industry is one of those industries where it always requires the people.
Yeah.
It always requires the people to do the work. And what you do see is you start to see there is a lot of what they call modular type construction, and construction that, you know, is maybe built in a factory and then assembled. But I don't think it's technology that's going to replace people.
Yeah. At least, you know, because sort of the last part where you're doing this. Now, when you took Dick Corporation, made it DCK Worldwide, the one thing that strikes me is DCK is in lowercase. Most companies have like uppercase or at least the first letter. So why all three lowercase?
Well, we felt that going back to our culture, we felt that we wanted to symbolize humility and be humble. And so kind of it was kind of a way to say that we're a humble company, but we're good at what we do and we understand, we know what we do.
Wow. No, that is incredible. So where do you see DCK a few years out, Stephen? Now, you've gone a long way. You know, a company from being sort of in trouble is now ranked one of the top companies in our region and around the world. Where would you like to see it?
I'd like to see us continue to grow in the directions that we are. I'd like us to I want to see the company, you know, expand more into other parts of the world, and look for ways that again that we can create more sustainability within the business, more reliability and repeat type work.
And so where all are you now, and sort of are you Asia-Pacific, Europe? I know you mentioned the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And is there any particular area that, for example, emerging markets, is that a big push for you?
Yeah, so one of the we're all over the Caribbean. We're in different parts of the U.S. We're actually building a Four Seasons in Napa Valley right now. We're in Hawaii. We're in but I have a back office in the Philippines. And we do a lot of design and CAD CAM and things like that. I'm looking at expanding in that area, Asia, places like Palau, places like the Maldives, where there's a lot of again, they're unique locations. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of desire for product, and we can bring a skill set that people will appreciate.
Okay. Now, Stephen, thank you so much. You know, it's truly a delight to have you here in studios. So if people were wanting to, you know, apply to your company or join you, how do they do so? Is there a website? What is your website? And what's the best way for people to reach out to your organization?
It's dckww.com. And there's always a list of people we're looking for.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. It's truly awesome to have you here.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.